Now, yesterday, the trustees of the Social Security Trust Funds came out with a mixed report on solvency. But what about the Social Security Administration itself? As a large agency responsible for delivering hundreds of billions of dollars in benefits each year, it has long-term challenges. Those hurdles are detailed in a study by the National Academy of Public Administration. The project director, Roger Cota, joins us now. Hi, Roger.
Good morning.
So, Roger, what do you see as the Social Security Administration's biggest challenges in the next, say, 10 years?
Well, we see five major challenges ahead. And the first one really is tight budgets. With these budget constraints, it's difficult for the SSA, or the Social Security Administration, and other agencies to move forward with some of the important investments they need to make in IT. But furthermore, as a shrinking workforce, 11,000 employees, it is 11,000 employees smaller since 2011, and there's been some constraints on their ability to hire. Furthermore, there's an increasing work volume, and that's been documented by reports by GAO that indicate that there's going to be an increase between now and 2025 of 37% of number of beneficiaries, so more work. And then the last two are connected with technology. We're living in a highly changing, rapidly changing, profoundly changing technology environment in the 21st century, and that means that the agency needs to take up these new challenges as well as to think about what their customers are going to look for in 10 to 15 years, and that's what this panel's report covers.
Now, it wasn't so long ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, that SSA Social Security was a model for IT planning and capacity planning because it has such detailed and accurate information about its future workloads. What's happened?
Well, it's really the fact that technology is changing so quickly in the 21st century. And yes, it is indeed the case that SSA has done very well till now. So this report is not about 2014. This is about 2025 to 2030. And by conferring with futurists, we recognize that America is going to be a very different place. Ray Kurzweil, the chief engineer at Google, has suggested in a 1999 book that the technology changes in the 21st century will be tantamount to 20,000 years of change. So things are rapidly changing. And while SSA has done extremely well in the past, it's a challenge for SSA to be prepared for what its customers are going to seek in terms of service delivery in 2025 and 2030. And the way that the agency currently operates and considers its investments in IT, it probably will need to be invigorated and better integrated going forward and then accelerated for the agency to be ready in 2025, 2030.
So what does the agency need to do now to get there in 2025? And in particular, I think there's a lot of consternation among employees that even though the workforce is shrinking, that you and perhaps leaders there envision even smaller workforce.
Right. So this panel's report is intended to inform SSA as SSA prepares its own vision and strategic plan, and that's an important point to make. We know that the Office of the Chief Strategic Officer and other leaders at SSA are working on their own vision, and we understand that the panel's report will, first of all, give them some good information, and we're looking forward to seeing what they come up with for themselves. But that said, to answer your question, it's really that SSA's leadership needs to embrace its own vision, a unified and particular vision for 2025-2030, and then for the leadership to demonstrably embrace the vision and lead a unified and integrated effort to build towards that anticipated future. We, in our report, also give some very particular suggestions on how the SSA might prepare itself with respect to setting aside a group of visible and competent leaders in the agency to leave their day-to-day work, which is indeed immense and enormous, and move into a function of working towards that future vision. Really need to set aside assets that are important to the agency to start to move this aircraft carrier expeditiously bearing in mind that 11 years from now is nearly a heartbeat when one thinks about some of the challenges ahead from an IT perspective, from a workforce perspective. And finally, I would say that it's important for SSA to engage very carefully and very well with their employee groups, as well as with Congress and other advocacy groups. This turnaround, this transformation, is likely to require increased budget and therefore approaches to Congress to would that have some discipline around the arguments that are made for greater budgets to make this transformation, and also perhaps some policy changes that will help to build a more efficient back office to provide better services for the future customers of the agency.
We're speaking with Roger Kodat. He is the project director for the SSA study conducted by the National Academy of Public Administration. And you've got 10 focus area recommendations to get specific about what you see ahead for SSA. And one of them is to, and I'll just your words, the report's words, develop a more cost-effective service delivery system that is primarily virtual, but includes personal service delivery options as necessary and appropriate. That sounds like reading between the line there, maybe closing this extensive field or much of the extensive network of field offices and letting people access what they need online. I guess the presumption there is that as the aging baby boomers get to Social Security, they're already online savvy.
So it's absolutely the case that if you look at Pew Research on Internet usage and the February 2014 report, we see that in the age group of 50 to 64, 88% of adults are on the Internet actively. And so we're seeing step by step through good research like that, that indeed individuals who are aging but are in that 50 to 64-year-old range, meaning that 10 to 15 years from now they may be retiring, why indeed they're very comfortable on the Internet. And so to your point, the agency needs to prepare itself for what we anticipate to be a much more virtual world in 2025, 2030, given the technology changes. So, therefore, a central conclusion is that SSA must be able to provide a quality services primarily through virtual channels, which today they're just dipping their toe in the water. They're doing it well, but they need to broaden the menu. Broaden the array of opportunities for their customers. But that said, and your point is taken, that the panel feels strongly that there still will remain those customers of 2025, 2030 that will prefer or need to, based on some issues that are connected with their applications for service from SSA, to be seeing someone. And therefore, the panel does not walk away from the importance of having face-to-face engagement with customers. We don't see that as being inconsistent with each other. It's just bearing in mind some of the needs for elderly and for those who may be disabled or for any reason at all just want to speak to someone about something as sensitive as a spouse dying. We recognize that. That said, one other point to make, which is that the panel urges the SSA to work on these virtual service delivery channels so that they become the customer choice, that they become attractive and trustworthy, and at the same time maintain the kind of program integrity that's so important to SSA.
We're speaking with Roger Kodat, the project director at the National Academy of Public Administration that just released a study with recommendations for the Social Security Administration. How do you think customer service might change for those who you just mentioned are probably the most needy of help from Social Security, the ones least likely to be able to access things through the Internet?
Right. So in that case, it may be back to face-to-face service. We recognize that. We recognize that there are people who will not feel comfortable for one reason or another with a click to chat, with an Internet engagement, even telephonically, although that becomes sometimes a little more, you can say, understandable. People are accustomed to using the phone. So there is a number of things that SSA will have to consider with respect to their field office structure. You'll see in the report that the panel does not actually prescribe the number of field offices or even number of employees, for that matter, that are going to be required in 2025, 2030. That's going to be driven A, by work volume, B, by people's preferences, and that means it can be impacted by how well SSA prepares its service delivery instruments. And certainly, you know, it's going to also be a focus and a function of budget. So as the agency is able to make this transformation, the panel certainly does not prescribe what number of field offices that the agency should have, and we recognize that that has to be carefully analyzed as they move forward into their new service delivery model.
And another focus area that you mentioned, and this is throughout the report, though, is to attract and retain high-quality employees for 2025. I mean, SSA is one of those agencies, kind of like FAA. It has a big operational side that is mostly unionized, and then it has a policy shop, and sometimes the two don't quite see eye to eye on everything. So what are their challenges to attracting the type of people that they need at SSA over the next 10 years?
So we expect in the panel's vision that employees are accessing integrated customer data and business systems are interoperable, and there's a fully automated delivery system. To that end, the agency does well to continue to focus on getting retaining and recruiting highly qualified graduates from universities and attracting otherwise strong cognitive skills in their employees. We believe that it's going to be important to adopt a flexible position and grade structure. It's rather rigid today, and engaging with SSA, we came to that conclusion. We believe, the panel believes, that it would be beneficial for a multiple career development path to be put in place to hold on to employees, particularly good employees, employees that are high producers, recognizing that in 2025 to 2030, futurologists tell us that it will be very common for individuals to move from job to job, much less so than it is today, where people are staying for decades in a particular agency, and SSA is one of those that attracts people and retains them. So as the new 2025-2030 environment takes place, the agency is going to have to make it interesting for its employees and also to have using data analytics to move employees from opportunity to opportunity and serving customers so there's more flexibility and to build and sustain the sort of talent pipelines that are required given the retirement numbers that they see are coming forward. They're going to be really, I think, approaching this, and they're working on a new strategic human capital plan that sounds very exciting from what we've heard, to move into this area and really have the kind of employees that are going to be able to manage the data and provide the services so that when a customer comes to SSA, they're not moved around from person to person, but the panel believes that it would be optimal for a customer to be served from start to finish with one individual. That's going to require some real talent.
Lots to think about. Roger Kodat is the project director of the National Academy of Public Administration. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.